It's Tess and Keith from the Event Tech Pull-Up, and I am what on vacation. I am here in Rome, Georgia. I searched all over the place to get good internet because where I'm staying, I can't tell you where I'm staying. Doesn't have great internet. It was so bad that I couldn't even do a regular Zoom call meeting. So I found this fabulous place, which is Romega, Rome for Rome, and then GA. They're a digital marketing company that actually they build tech too. And then they do websites and all kinds of stuff. And they rent out event space. And I actually have a little co-working space while I'm here. It took forever for me to find. And this is called the Neely because it's there's seven hills in Rome, Georgia. But we had to bring you our Event Tech Pull-Up season two episode, excitingly. And I have the best co-host in the world because I bring him on vacation with me. Keepy, where are you?
I kind of here now. I gotta put you. Gotta change all this around. Hey, what's going on? And people see an empty chair, and they're probably wondering what's going on with that empty chair. So why don't you start your where you're going? But how are you? It's been a long time.
I'm good. I'm good. It's been too long, Keith. We can't do it like this anymore.
No,
It
I
shouldn't
don't think we
happen.
can. But look at that place. It's cool.
Yeah, it sure can.
I'm like watching you walk through, and it's like I see little snippets behind you of what's going on. But I it's good to be back after such a long time.
Is great to be back.
All
Look at
right,
that.
now
That's
what?
what being on the road is like.
Yes,
So
now
I'm
me.
gonna hop off of here and then I'll meet you in the studio.
Look at that. So people got to kind of see a little bit of behind the scenes action cam going.
I'm a coming. I just need to put on my earphone.
And while you're putting on the earphones, I can let everyone know that it's time to talk about some news. We've got three quick things to share today because we do want to get right to our guest today, because I think that is actually the coolest thing about today's episode, is who we have on for a guest and what people are going to learn about e-posters and making those a little bit better. But Tess, shall we talk
Yeah,
about some news? We know
we
we got
could.
three stories.
We got three stories, right? I would say yes. So the climate of our industry has shifted and changed. I think that in our industry has shifted and changed, and I think it's all for the better. I really do. Life throws us all kinds of different things, and we have to be able to morph accordingly to what's happened. Even if it's kind of tragic, we still should look towards the brighter things. How has it made us stronger? How have we come together better? How have we learned to collaborate more? How have we learned to step away from competition and look about the greater good? It should also be around good works, right? Because if we're doing our work properly, it should be for the all and not for our individual selves. Just my little thought on that. So if I kick off, we went through regular COVID-19, then Delta variant, and now it's Omi.
The
What
Omi.
is happening, Keith? The Omi. And I personally don't see people taking it seriously.
No, and that's a shame because in 3 weeks it has gone from nobody knew it existed to now quickly becoming the dominant variant in a lot of places. I think in the UK it's already the dominant variant. It will be here in the United States soon. But people aren't getting a few things about this one. A, it's punching through the vaccine barrier for people who only have the two shots and not the booster. Now, and I can say people in my household now have it. Granted, it is not bad as, because they're vaccinated, they're fine. They're watching, TV, work, and, the same normal stuff, but they're in quarantine. But for the folks who are not vaccinated, let me see. I'm actually looking over here because I have some stats, right? Regeneron, that antibody treatment that people were getting, has diminished potency against Omicron. And it Omicron multiplies 70 times faster in your lungs.
You just say Momicron.
Omicron. It's a cron. So people do need to be conscious of this. You know, we have some live events coming up in February, and our stakeholders are getting nervous. You know, are we going to go through with this? Yeah. You know, being that it is, it people are getting it quicker. It's getting through the folks who have only had two vaccine shots. It's scary. Yeah.
It is scary. And again, I think personal individual behavior is key. Before when we got first hit and we all shut down, people took it seriously at the shutdown phase and then became unfortunately fearful. And that's really what happened, where people were taking it more serious. I think as time went on and there's all this individuality, our industry has shifted because there's so many people who are not wearing masks. There's so many people who have spent time and money into PPE products to try to have health passes at their events, to say, well, if you're vaccinated, you can come in. Let's take a look at, you know, let's take if you're negative. But what does this mean? When we don't know, it can move just fast. Yeah. You can't really necessarily pinpoint it the same way. Are people going to make those hardcore decisions from a business perspective to say, I'm going to not make money because of it, the way that they did before? I don't really know. I don't really think so. And if they do, I think it's going to have to be, again, something else that's going to be major to force them to do it, because I don't think that people have been quite as desensitized as they should have been, as long as they should have been. So it will resonate that we're technically in a pandemic. I think people have forgotten that.
I think they have. But again, wanting to, you know, let's see. We'll see what the next couple of weeks pan out with this one.
Exactly. I had a trip. I had a trip planned out of the country. And I looked at the State Department's website like I was supposed to and read some stuff that I was like, oh yeah, yeah, maybe not. And it had nothing to do with me. It was like, no, I don't think I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
And it's just scary. I have another trip planned for mid-January, so I'm hoping that will go through.
I leave on Saturday for Arizona.
Yeah. So we will see.
So, all right, next news story. And this is actually one that may not seem like it's related to the meetings and events industry, but I am telling you, it is 1,000% related to the meetings and events industry. And that,
and when it affects you, you let us know.
So SiriusXM is getting sued by the National Association for the Deaf because they are not providing transcripts of podcasts. Now, the National Association for the Deaf could have chosen any number of where to start, but they went after a big gun, and they did, because basically I think that the quote was, we needed to start somewhere. So already, if you look at it on a basic level, you and I saw that, and you know, we want to be as inclusive as possible, and we always try to be. And so getting transcripts and doing that has always been something that's been on our radar. But for a lot of meetings and events, how this ties into the meetings and events industry is, with your virtual hybrid recordings, whatever you're doing, are you being as inclusive as you should be? Not could be, should be. Because change, I said this in a LinkedIn post the other day, change is coming, and this is the start. So you best be getting ahead of it rather than playing catch up.
Absolutely. And there are tons of ways you can do it. There's built-in captions and all kinds of tech. There are people who consult on who've been talking about it for many years. There are websites that are enabled for various different sizes of text. There is audio enabled experiences that you can create, voice enabled experiences that you can create for people, right? Did you think about people who are colorblind? What colors do you have going on that may not work for them? You know, you got to be cognizant of, you know, really what you're doing, and ask what actually works best, right? You may be spending a lot of dollars in certain areas and that might not work as well. So ask some of our authorities or people who've been doing it for a long time.
Yes. And please, please, please do all you can to be as inclusive as possible. Not because you have to, but because it's the freaking right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. And yeah. It is.
So Tess, any other news today? I don't know.
No, I think that those two spots were good because we have so much planned for the future for Event Tech Pull-Up. I know it's been a long time. Keith and I have been trying to sit down and do this, but we didn't want to do it in a way where we were rushed. We wanted to kind of think through our plans. So the future is bright for the pull-up. We want you to invite your friends, your family. We want you to have watch parties around it because we have some stuff in store for you. We didn't do as much focus on the actual event tech before, but you watch out what's coming down the line. We're really excited about it.
Yes, we are. And let's get to our first guest. What am I, like Jimmy Fallon?
Our 15 guests.
let's get to our only guest right after a quick break. And we're going to bring on Tamsin Treasure Jones from Cubify.
Cubify. It's such a cool name. K-U-B-I-F-Y. K-U-B-I-F-Y.
It is Cubify. Cool. Cubify. She's cool. The product's cool. It's cool all around.
And cool with a K. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
You know, Tess, I'm amazed that you can actually sing that again. Because I will share with everyone that we were halfway through this episode and I looked down and went, I didn't hit record.
Yeah, oops. The oopsie oopsie.
Yes, and so now we're old friends with Tamsin Treasure Jones, who with Cubify, who is our guest this week on our big comeback episode. And Tamsin, how are you?
I'm still good, Kate. It's all good here.
Well, welcome. We're so happy to have you. I'm so excited to have our inaugural episode and bring an opportunity for an event tech company to be on with us and talk about something that we don't normally talk about. We don't want to do the run of the mill people. We wanted to do something just a little bit different. And we want to talk about how we can take boring to exciting. And Keith, tell them a little bit about how do you take boring to exciting.
Well, now I got to go through my story again. So this will be the abbreviated version. But Tess, there was one thing in my mind I remember, because Tess and I work a lot of events together. And so Tess and I were working an event, and I remember it was early, early in the morning, and we were walking through wherever it was. And it was a poster session at this one particular conference. And they didn't hide it in the back of the exhibit hall like, you know, some do. It was actually right out in registration in the lobby, but it was the last day and it was early and you kind of had a chance to look at them and you just kind of went, ew.
Denver Convention Center, I think.
Yes, it
I
was.
I remember our flight because I was mad with him because he didn't have clear or something like that.
Oops. That was exactly the time. So, but you know, they're on corkboard. They looked crappy. It's time for new. It's time to bring that old style of education and showing people things and bring it into now, yeah. Which now. Is why Cubify's here, because you guys, Tamsin, tell us all about what you guys are doing and how you are actually turning the poster session into something people actually want to go and see or want to see rather than something that they have to do.
Yeah, so Keith, what we're doing is, I myself used to be a researcher and I used to stand at those cork boards with the peeling poster behind me. And,
bless you.
Some people regard it as, you know, time, it's something you have to do as part of the process, but it isn't actually very effective. It's not a great way of sharing your work. Very boring text and images. Nobody stands and reads one of those things top to bottom. And, you know, nowadays, and you've seen it particularly in the last year, how many more digital skills researchers have, much more interactive material they have that they could share with people to tell their story of their research. And so we've been attending conferences that had moved to e-posters. But strangely, their move to e-posters just took that paper poster, had it as a PDF on a screen. And so it had all the downsides of the original paper poster, but without Keith's peeling.
But it was shiny.
It was shiny, yes.
But it was still boring.
It took no advantage of actually getting more interactive and giving authors creativity to do something more interesting. So we said, well, let's step away from that whole idea of the paper poster. If you're going digital, let's use the full capability of digital. And so our e-posters are actually a curation tool that allows the authors to bring together any material they have that presents their work well and which they want to share. So it can be a video of them discussing their work. It can be a longer guidebook about their work. It can be interactive material that they've made as part of their work. So it suddenly becomes much more flexible.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things we hadn't yet gotten to on our first go round was it also takes it out of one location, right? Where, yes, you can do this live in your poster sessions on the floor. You know, you can have the screens and, you know, and you'll show a couple examples in a minute, but, you know, you can have touch screens where people can do it, or they can scan a QR code and pull it up on their phone while they're at the poster session. But because of COVID, it also allows the virtual people to have the same experience with the poster sessions that the live audience is having, right? They can go in and they can see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're, as you say, it's wherever someone's looking at the e-poster, they're always looking at the same thing. And that could be me sat at home, joining the conference virtually and looking and exploring the e-poster and all its interactive bits on my laptop. It could be me at the conference, touching it on a touch screen, or it could be me at the conference scanning the QR code of that e-poster and actually exploring it. And that's really... That's a key thing for me as well, is that I didn't want us to replace the sort of forests of poster boards with forests of touchscreens. From a sustainability point of view, that would actually be a real move backwards in some ways.
Yeah.
So having some touchscreens there is okay, but there should be another way of accessing the e-posters without that kind of having to hire in that kind of technology. So what Cubify does is when you make the e-poster, it also makes what we call a mini poster. It's a small printable summary of your e-poster with a QR code on it and a key image. And they can be displayed on site, much smaller area in which you can display them than those huge A0 size posters. And people can browse across them, scan the QR code, and they've then got the e-poster to explore on their own device. So a bring your own device approach to the e-posters. And a real lovely thing about that as well is, as you said, Keith, about it doesn't restrict you in terms of location. Imagine I'm at the conference and I meet someone over lunch who's interested in my work. That always happens. Well, I'm not standing by a poster board, but actually I've now got the poster in my pocket. I can bring it out. I can show them the poster on my phone. I can show them the QR code. They scan it and now they can explore it on their phone as well. So it really means much better way for the researchers to share their work.
So this really is storytelling. So it's like an e-poster is becoming the storyboard, right? A tech and Apple story, but you need to tell a story about research to make research more interesting for the a person who's going to consume the information. Keith, can we see it now?
Let's go ahead. Let's bring it
all
up.
All right, let's bring it up, because you know I'm a visual girl. I got to see it. Let's see it and touch it. You told us how we can touch it. You said what it did. So let's go for it. Okay, and also, I think it'd be interesting because that's a different thought process for some researchers, or I say the majority of the researchers out there, because we're in such a entrepreneurial spirit world now where everyone is doing pitch competition and pitching something. So I think this probably gives you the opportunity to kind of shift the mindset of a researcher. I have the ability now to pitch my research to people or explain my research, my genius to people, which really truly is like TED, right? Perspective, because that's geniuses expressing their genius, right? In short time frames, and be able to actually see the research that they're doing. So it's kind of like a little mini pitch.
Well, and you know, we're talking about this as all as poster sessions, but my brain, you know, it gets bigger, right? Like these are the types of things, all of a sudden these become so much more, right? If you had an annual sales meeting where you were talking about, you know, what you want your company to do for the next year, you can compile all of that and it's here and it lives here, right? It doesn't have to go away. It becomes a longer, it's not confined to the event. It can live past that.
That's a really good point, Keith, because the e-posters are all hosted for the whole year of the event. As we know, all events nowadays are recognizing this, that really you should be supporting all your content for longer, not just for the live days of the event. But then the other thing about our e-posters is that they actually each have their own unique website address. So the author can actually share their e-poster and use it beyond the event. And we've had authors in the last year who have one from a music conference who actually used her e-poster in the textbook that she was writing as well. So she was actually able to include the QR code in the textbook so that the people who were interested in her work could actually go and see the e-poster that way as well. So it gives it a whole life. I mean, this is it. I'm interested in sustainability. I'm interested in reusing things. If someone makes something great, let's not trap it in a 2-day conference. Let's let it live beyond.
Yeah. Well, and I think when it comes, and you know, we had mentioned that, you know, I wish every event would take the mentality that your event is actually 365 days, not three. You know, and so many don't, but, you know, this is a tool that can help them get there.
Yeah.
Right.
Shall I show you? What we're looking at the moment is just one example of an e-poster, and they can, and as I said, it's a curation tool. So the authors have put various bits of content in here. So they've put in links to each of their professional web pages, which you can go and explore. And they've put in their abstract, which is what you'd expect with a research thing, but they have also put in a presentation that allows you to actually go through and see all of their work. Nowadays, many people actually would add a narration, and this presentation would actually be a video. These particular authors didn't, but the reason I have pulled this one up just now is that I wanted to show one of the things they have done that's really nice. The particular work they're doing was on using 3D animations to teach anatomy. So this is one of the medical e-posters, but they've actually been able to put in the 3D animations that they made into the e-poster. And this is me now manipulating their 3D animation, and anyone who looks at it is able to just interact with it there like that.
That is so cool.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think you has so many use cases to it. And I think, you know, when you were talking earlier, you told us a little bit about some other industries besides medical, which is all traditional, right? Who began to utilize the tech?
Yeah, so you people often think that it's medical that use paper posters or poster sessions, and they do, but it actually turns out over the last 2 years in particular, we've discovered how many others do. And we're now working with conferences in music and the arts, engineering as well. And music, I mean, it is rather strange to think that they ever had a paper poster format for a music conference, but they did. But since they've moved to using Cubify, then their authors have been able to put in actual examples of the music that they've been researching, recitals of themselves playing the music. They've been able to put in the scores so that other people can actually take their music and play it. So really interesting things. And actually one of the arts ones that I thought was amazing as well, our e-posters actually allow an author to have an area in the e-poster where the viewers can add content as well.
I was going to ask that, how, what kind of interactive and
yes, so you can have the viewers adding content. And one of the researchers from the Arts and Humanities, she was doing some really nice research into the emotional impact that sounds have had on us during lockdown. And her poster presented that work, but she also had within it an area where she said, upload a sound that has been meaningful to you during lockdown, along with a description of why. So then you've got this whole extra content created where you could see all what everybody had added. And she was then able to actually, she'd put a consent form in. So she was then actually able to use that to take her research forward as well. So it's really exciting, some of the things that people do with this.
Well, you think of the amazing things when you start to see it, you know, as a whole, what you can do with it, right? You know, for every session a conference has, you know, we just did a conference not too long ago where we encouraged all of the speakers to add extra material beyond what their session was about. And we had one that had 38 pieces. There were links to YouTube videos, there were PDFs, there were websites, there were PowerPoints. They just kept putting all of this information in there, which was amazing. But on your standard virtual platform, it was literally just a collection of links.
Yeah.
Right? You know, whereas this, you can do the same thing, but it becomes so much more. It becomes, you know, something that's living. You can continue to add to it. And, you know, but, you know, when you talk about that event being 365 days, you know, if you had a really great session, you could encourage attendees to come back in and say how the session changed their, what they do, how they do, whatever it happens to be, so that you could actually follow up on that the next year.
I think that kind of model is great. And I mean, a lot of the clients we're working with, I'm encouraging them to think about that, because our system actually also shows analytics of what engagement there's been with the e-posters. So as you're saying, Keith, after an event, you can look at that and you can say, well, so which of these e-posters were really gathering the most attention? Maybe it would be worth doing some follow-up with those e-posters. So you then get a new event or a new activity, not necessarily requiring any new content, because it's actually, let's go back to that content and let's actually explore it in more detail. As you said, Keith, let's say, what have people done with this content? How have they taken it further? And that again comes back to my thing about, you know, if people have made such great stuff here, let's not just trap it in 2 days. Let's take it further.
Yeah. I want to jump in here just a little bit from an educational standpoint for those in the industry who don't use e-posters. That's just not a part of their world, right? So someone would say, yeah, that's just a website. I can create a landing page and upload information, because I have our own developers and our own IT department who can just create a page for me and do that. What's the biggest difference between e-posters and what Kubify is doing, as opposed to someone saying, hey, can I just create something really simple and just add it in and push it out to a website? What's the biggest difference? Because I want people to understand the technology behind it so that they're not seeing this as the same as something that's just run of the mill.
So I think the differences are that, I mean, we started from a mobile first perspective. So one difference is that you can actually put in apps themselves, a link to an app in your e-poster. And so if you're looking at it on the phone, it's actually going to open that app on your phone, so that mobile first thing, it does more than simply a website would do. But I think the other thing is that whilst we've said that people have good digital skills, not everybody. And a lot of the people involved in making the e-posters have been for many years making paper posters, and to tell those people to move to making a website is going to be too big a step. if they're using our system, then it's simply drag and drop to add in the content that they want. So it's very simple indeed to make it. And as Keith said, rather than it being a list of links, you can actually group things like these people have done with the authors or the presentation. So you can add structure there as well. And then I guess, Tess, the other thing is that because our customers are the conference organizers, not the authors. I mean, I love our authors and they're our users, but they're not our paying customer. The conference organizer is. So what the platform gives the conference organizer is the ability to invite all of their authors to make this content, oversee, you can actually watch and see people making it as it's being made to see where they are. And you can publish the e-posters when they're ready to a showcase website. So as a conference organizer, you get this great control over exactly what's happening.
So basically,
I believe my cat has probably joined.
That
was the best thing.
I loved it.
You know, that's actually one of the coolest things. I did a session or an event a few weeks ago, and it was with actually some pretty like people way above my pay grade, and her dog came running in and like jumped up on her lap, and it was the coolest thing. It really was. Back to what my thought was, is if for an event organizer, if you do poster sessions, you know that chasing people is hard to get them and get it done. So it saves you time that way. And if you've never done poster sessions before, it actually makes the process easy because there's nothing for you to learn, right? As an organizer, yeah, you got to go in and you got to do the things you need to do with it. But once you send those links out and you get the people putting in their own materials, your life becomes much easier. Mm-hmm. And it's much easier to know who's done the work, who you're chasing, I guess, is because as event organizers, as event planners, we are always chasing people.
It's a cat race, right? And a rat race, more important. And I also think, Keith, when you're talking about the event organizers who haven't or don't even do e-posters, just like she mentioned about the music industry, there are all kinds of different things that you could tech enable through using a tool like this at your meeting and your conference, right? You don't have to be a huge research outlet. You don't have to be at an academia. You don't have to do that. Corporations, associations, small events, large events can do this and be creative in how they think about telling a story with data that may be boring or might not necessarily be that. It could be anything that's happening that you could use a tool.
The use cases to tell a story are phenomenal, right?
Like, yeah, they are.
We work with a not-for-profit association-y, but they're not. It's a not-for-profit. But they're in a big incubator, right, in Chicago. Well, how cool would it be at their annual event if every little pod in that incubator where people are doing cool stuff did their own, right?
Wouldn't it be amazing? And then who the incubator itself, they could be the event, quote-unquote, event organizer and showcase all of the different ideas that are coming out of the incubator itself.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Teams. Yeah,
absolutely. You mentioned earlier, Tess, about pitching and people pitching their research. And of course, when you go into the incubator area, that's exactly what you're talking about as well, is pitching ideas. So
right, exactly.
It's a really nice fit.
And so it makes what I was saying before was, before the 7 minute, right, is that we're telling a story right now with data, research and information, making it more exciting, but really, truly in this age of entrepreneurship and ideation, everyone's pitching, right? Pitching for money, for the dollars, for funding and all of that. This lets the researcher be able to pitch because you have smaller overview videos or information around your product or whatever you're actually showing or research, whatever you're showing. And it's right in the palm of your hand and you can take it wherever you want to be. Now, as we mentioned in our earlier news about how said company is being gone after about not being accessible or have not having an accessibility, tech to get to their product, and people cannot, all people can't get there. When you talk about sustainability, we also need to talk about accessibility, right? So this to me is perfect, perfect tool, because then you can go into my favorite area, which is voice. And Keith yeah. knows it. I've always said for a long time, voice is the future. It's now here of our events industry. And now I can do voice within here as well. Not just a video. I could do audio in here. I can make it whatever I want it to be. And anyone should be able to interact with it. And that's really how you need to have your content displayed at any point in time. It needs to be open and accessible for all.
That's a really nice point as well. And again, I've seen authors taking advantage of that by actually putting in different ways of interacting with their content. So a video, a podcast, a presentation, so that you have choice. What fits me? How do I want to learn about their work best? Yes. And even on the languages, we've had some authors who've actually particularly in Canadian conferences, who've actually put in a French language and an English language version of their work as well, as standard, which of course it allows you to do. Whereas again, if we go back to those paper posters, you're stuck by the format. Whereas here, it's much more open.
Yeah. Well, I think this is wonderful.
It is really cool. And
it is.
You know, I had that little pregnant pause there, and it's not because we've run out of things to say. It's because my brain keeps going with more things you could do. Yeah. Right?
But also we have to let it settle. Sometimes you have to just let it settle. You know, my respect the pause hashtag, which is, you know, you got to let the dust settle in order for us to be allowed to create.
Yeah, which goes to your vacation, right? You're on vacation. Yeah,
you know, I'm in Rome, Georgia. Rome, Georgia. Having a great time here. Having a wonderful time.
Tamsin, take us home. So, you know, all the links and everything that people need to get to you are going to be on the page. But what would be that one parting thing? What would be that one... Well, you know, how do we want to close this up? What do you want everyone to know? And for all of, you know, all of the planners that listen, go and check this out. This is very cool. It allows you to add so much to not only your in-person event, but also your virtual and your hybrid components. And I will just say one, you know, I was thinking, you know, when you look back at poster sessions where that person stands in front of the poster and they're giving you their little 15 minutes, you can still do that, right? Because, you know, for a lot of organizations, that's still important, right? So that, you know, you could have everyone pull it up on their phone using the QR code at the live event, and the person can stand there and you know, give their talk while the people are going through it. Or you could have a touch screen there where they could show people just like they would with a normal poster session. But if you look at the virtual and hybrid side, you're not leaving them out, because people can, you know, they can go right from that 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever you give them on the show floor and wherever they happen to be, they can then go sit down in front of a computer. They can log into, let's say AirMeet is the platform. You can use those lounge tables, those virtual lounge tables, where the virtual audience can now sit down with that poster person and get almost the same experience as the person who was live in person, which is truly important to making the virtual and hybrid audience feel like they are as important to the event and the event organizers as the in-person people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's hybrid at its finest, right?
Yeah, it truly is.
And I think that's probably, you've probably done the summing up for me there, Keith, because I would have said one of the key things that we set out to do was this bridging between the on-site conference and the virtual world, which at the time when we set out to do it was a bridging between live at the conference and online afterwards. But now that's much more flexible, isn't it? I mean, that those might be happening at the same time.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll throw this out there too. There are a lot of event organizers out there who don't get the full potential of virtual and hybrid. And they kind of think that having attendees go from one platform, let's say AirMeet, to onto a different platform, like it's a big stress for attendees. It's not. As long as the platforms you're using are easy to interact with, and I know that yours is easy, right? We're all used to it now. We are 2 years into COVID. This is not new anymore. You know, attendees are used to going, you know, Hubelo is a prime example. We have a client that uses their virtual platform, but we use Zoom as where they go to watch the sessions. The attendees don't have a problem with it. They click, they go, they watch. So introducing, you know, this to your audience is not a big stretch.
No, yeah. and it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Keith, that, I mean, we've all developed an awful lot over the last 2 years in terms of digital skills. And so long as a platform is easy to use, then moving from one to another shouldn't be any issue. In fact, with our showcase where the e-posters can all be searched, it can also be embedded inside another platform. So then for the online viewer, they don't even realize that they're moving from one to another. So, yeah.
I didn't know that. And that even makes it even better.
I think that's, this is amazing because we're always in a position where we want to educate our audience, right? We want our planners and suppliers to know how to stretch and give back to our industry in a great way. We're never about selling. We're never about one versus the other. We are all about how do we collaborate and make our world better, our whole event and meeting business event industry better. And I think this is a great idea. I am hoping as we wrap up, Keith, today, that people can take from this and say, oh, you know what? I really didn't think I could do hybrid. This might be the one thing that will let me do hybrid. I don't have to have all that other stuff. I could just do this one thing and bridge audiences in a different kind of way and be creative with the content that I already have, or maybe some speakers that, you know, we haven't even talked about the fact, well, I don't have research. Well, you have speakers who have information that we need to give. Right? You've got internally, you've got board members, you've got stakeholders of some kind that you need to share any information and data. So we want to push you to step outside of your box because this is the way you come to the Event Tech Pull-Up. That's what we want to do. Keith, anything you'd like to say to our audience is closing?
Yes, they need to go to cubify.co. So it's cubify.co to learn more. And again, we'll put all the links to all, there'll be a bunch more links in the show notes. But anyway, if you're driving in your car, you know, just remember it's with a
cubify.co
and it's a co, not a com. But Tamsin, thank you so much for being here. You were such a sport after I totally dropped the ball, forgot to hit record.
It's okay. Hey, we always have to have our oops. We have to have our oops. If we don't have our oops, then what? Bloopers are so much more fun than regular content.
Except we don't have bloopers because I didn't hit record. All right, guys. Thank you. And we'll catch everybody next time. Tess and I are now back for I guess we're officially into season two now because we kind of stalled for a while because life gets in the way.
Yeah. Well, thank you all for being here. You all have a great day.